Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. You're on American Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. This is Paulette Young speaking, your host, and we'll be joined by a few others shortly. Today's topic is HIV, AIDS statistics. And we're going to be we're going to talk about some of the states, the number of HIV cases, which state has the highest number of HIV cases. Are we at epidemic or pandemic? Epidemic mean you can get it under control. Pandemic mean it is out of control. Just a moment, please. We just have a little technical difficulty. Okay, I'm back. There was a glitch in the board that we run. Okay, anyway, I'm going back to, we're talking about HIV-A statistics, and I'm your host, Paulette Young, and we're going to be joined by Selena Lindsay and a few others. We're going to talk about what are the numbers of HIV-AIDS cases, which state has the highest number of HIV-AIDS cases. Are we at epidemic or pandemic? How educated are the youth on this crisis? Would educating the youth help? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Anyway, start off with some of the numbers. Los Angeles, California, in 2016, in the southern states, there were more than half of the new cases in California. There was 15.2 new cases per 100,000 people. Nationwide, there was a drop of 18% from 2008 to 2014. The biggest decline was among IV drug users, but the use of opioid may cause an increase. From 2008 to 2014, during this six-year period, new HIV infection rates dropped by 10% each year in Washington, D.C., 8% in Maryland, 7% in Pennsylvania, 6% in Georgia, 5% in New York, 8% in Maryland, 7% in Pennsylvania, 6% in Georgia, 5% in New York and North Carolina, and 4% in Illinois and 2% in Texas. In 2014 to 2015, nationally showed that 37,600 people with HIV in 2014, so more than half of them was in the South. 53% of the 6,000 people who died lived in the South. Nationally, the majority lived in urban areas. Medical treatment was readily available. In the South and Midwest, 23% and 21% lived in suburban or isolated rural areas. Far greater in the South. Early treatment is critical. 75% got care within a month. This did not happen in southern states. More than half of the U.S. black lives in southern states. In all areas but the West, African Americans were more likely to get HIV than other races. They account for 51% of the new diagnosis in the South, 50% in the Midwest, 39% in Northeast, and 19% in the West. Hi, Selena. How are you? Selena's one of our people that that's on the program every Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Fabulous, and fabulous to be back in 2019.
Yes. I think we're off to a great start. Hopefully we are. Okay. Go ahead. Jump right on in and share, you know, some of the information that you have pulled up already.
Well, I found it to also, too, to be astounding. You know, as you said, in southern states, actually, people with IV account for 46%.
Mm-hmm.
And the technicality is in 2017, over 960,351, where they were technically infected, and then you have 38,000 that actually received the HIV diagnosis. This stuff is going through the roof. Some of the more astounding facts also are, for those of you that are playing with pencils and paper and like numbers, which like me, when we start talking about male-to-male HIV, we had a total of 9,807 cases. If you want to talk about Latinos, male-to-male, 7,436. White males, and we're talking about a white male that is with another male that has HIV, the total was 6,982. In terms of black women that are with heterosexual contact, it was over 4,008.
Wow.
Of Hispanic women, 1,058. Now, this is a real interesting number to me. White women. 999. It looks like I need to change some colors or something. But at any rate, all of the numbers together, it is really just horrendous. And there are a number of ways of doing these numbers because CDC does it by age, and I'm only going to quote two of them. The largest age group was from 25 to 36. It was a total of 13,433. The second largest group was between the ages of 35 and 34, and that number was 7,397. And for people that are 65 and older, there were only 865 persons. Some of the other stuff that CDC does for you is by race, and I found that to be very, very interesting. One thing for sure, the Indians are behaving themselves. There's only 212 of those. The Asians, 935. And unfortunately, the African Americans, 16,694. The Hispanics, 9,908. Native Americans, only 59. Whereas white Americans, 10,049. And any other races or mixed races basically was 872. So the technicality is HIV is not a joke, and it's taking names and numbers. And some serious consideration needs to be given to what's going on and what people are doing about it. Because these numbers are not telling fairy tales.
No, they're not.
And the secondary thing is, the big fact with the numbers is that with bisexual men in 2017, they account for 66%, which in terms of numbers is 25,748.
Wow.
Another interesting fact that I found, which is sometimes when we start talking about the United States, and one of the places to find that information is with the Kaiser Foundation. They actually have a tutorial that is interesting online, and it's called HIV and AIDS Surveillance Data in the United States. One of the things about that is, first of all, a breakdown, which I'm sure you're familiar with because they do, the first stage, the second stage, and the third stage, and also AIDS. But the overall numbers, when we start talking about the United States, so we get the facts straight, is, in my opinion, sometimes people fail to understand their other places because they only think about the 38 states in America. The other places would be called the American Samoa, Guam, the Northern Mariana Islands, Puerto Rico, Palau, and the United States Virgin Islands. All of those are the United States.
That's true. And sometimes we, for some reason, leave that portion out.
Well, I would just say under the current leadership, it's almost like they don't exist.
I hope this current leadership only lasts so long. And that's the honest truth. We have to stay vigilant and do something about it, not close our eyes to anything. And especially our youth.
Absolutely. Where, and another sounding fact to me was period. When we round all these numbers up, what we're talking about, 1,122 people in the year of 2017, which were adults and adolescents that are living with HIV.
That's a lot of people.
Is no joke.
And the sad part, too, is that because of our current testing procedure, some is living with it. They show no signs and symptoms until almost 10 or more years later. By the time they get, if you get a diagnosis that late, their ability to survive that is just not there. They normally, you know, they're put on treatment, but it's very hard to save them because they've had it too long with no treatment. And they may, people don't realize, it's not. I feel it's not enough education in that area. You may have the disease itself and not know it. You feel fine and everything. Unless there's a test ran or the right test is ran, you may not know. If you're waiting to get sick, you may not get sick. You may not show that you have that disease in your body. So the ones that get the early detection and they know they have it and they follow through with treatment, they live a lot longer and it's not such a death sentence. But if they're waiting for some signs and symptoms, you might have waited too late. And unless you have both the genetic test and the antibody test together, where you could know within 10 to 15 days your status, your survival rate is less. It's nothing to play with. And then you have the some of your poor areas or rural areas, there's not enough education among where the blacks are living. There's just not enough education. And that's part of the problem. All people can learn, but why
Absolutely.
Is it that the black population is the least likely to receive that education? That's one way, a solution to the problem, is there need to be more education. And then more people need to understand that that the importance of, you know, getting an HIV test early, not later, and the importance of getting both tests, not just one.
Well, for sure, there is something wrong, and something is not quite right, and we are showing numbers of over 16,000. It means that we're not doing enough to ensure that information gets out there to do something about this. 16,000 people, that's just staggering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is just really staggering. And when they say, you know, adolescents, that's pitiful. You know, it's like we're talking for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on your brain. Something absolutely must be done. It's got to stop. And when these people are acting like rabbits, there's no stopping, it's multiplying on a continued basis. It's literally on a runaway. And something which I really just didn't have time to really take a good look at was worldwide. What are we talking about? You know, this thing is escalating, and I don't like things when they're quiet, because that's when you have a so-called sudden explosion. And all of us that have not been being quiet, and of course, Paula, you're one of them, you're not being quiet. you know, you've been hot quite a while. To let those of us that are uninformed that, you know, this is a quiet piece of dynamite that's about to blow up. And
it is
doing just that. You know, it is blowing up all over the place. And when you see places that are far away, as say Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and that's still the United States. And those numbers, in terms of statistics, are not little babies either.
That's true.
You know, this is pitiful. Pitiful in terms of education here, especially in the larger cities such as Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York, that the numbers continue to rise.
Which is unfortunate.
And it's not just poor people, because statistically, at least CDC has begun to do some interesting breakdown, because, you know, they have it broken down if they got this HIV, which 15% got it by injection, you know, and a percentage of the people that through drug use, and then all of the ones that got it, which were sexually transmitted, and which some of the numbers which I just went through, which, you know, they have it, whereas these people, whether or not they were, you know, bisexual, gay, or heterosexual, you know, so it's just terrible. To me, that's good information, but period. We're talking about HIV, and it's on a runaway.
Mm-hmm. Which is unfortunate. When we have 50% of all new cases below age 25, there's a problem. Again, it's going to, I found when I'm out talking to groups of people, especially the youth, they don't know that you can get it through passionate kissing. They don't know that there's two tests where you can know your status sooner and not have to continue to be retested 3 months, 6 months, to a year later. That if they get both tests, the antibody test and the genetic test at the same time, they can know their test sooner. Unfortunately, the second test, the genetic test, you have to pay for it. But if you don't want to pay, what some have done is donated their blood. Red Cross advised that do not donate your blood because you want to know your HIV status. But those that can't afford it have done just that because they wanted to know their status. They don't have money to pay for that test.
Mm-hmm.
Places like Red Cross have to run the test because the whole blood bank would be contaminated if they didn't. So it's like they don't really have a choice on that. It's just something they have to do. It's not if you want to do it. You have to do it. Other than that, you'll have, you know, a whole a blood bank where it's contaminated
yeah,
blood.
The world would be messed up, put it that way.
Oh, gosh, yeah, nobody can receive blood. They said in 2016 there was like 15,807 deaths among people diagnosed with HIV in the United States. And they said that the deaths may be due to any cause. Because you got to remember when a person comes down with AIDS, that's when their whole immune system is no longer working. So if you don't have an immune system, anything can come. Chickenpox can kill you. A common cold can kill you. Just about all some of the simple things that wouldn't kill a person would kill HIV person that's where it's turned into AIDS. It can cause their death because they don't have a defense anymore. And that's a total tragedy. And you have a lot of your young people will pass away even after they've been diagnosed because they're the least likely to take their medication the way they're supposed to. And a lot of it they're not understanding. You can't be diagnosed with that disease and not take the medicine. They said in... I'm not sure if you had said this already. In 2016, the numbers that were living with diagnosed HIV infection was 1,008,929 people. And it's still showing that people that do get early diagnosis are able to live longer because they're getting treated. But if you don't know you have it, there is no treatment, and then that's not good. And then the likelihood of that person dying is very great.
Well, it's getting to the point that, you know, I had a brother that, of course, yeah, he passed away from HIV, and I have several clients that have contracted it, and that's one of the problems with these staggering numbers, is that you don't know who's standing right next to you, that and has gotten this problem, along with of course a couple of famous names. You know, when we talk about Magic Johnson or somebody, that due to, I like to just say bad behavior, you know, they end up getting a lot more than what they thought they were going to get from outside. And that's the state of affairs. You don't know what you're doing anymore. And that's another thing I like to share with young people, that, you know, I don't care what they look like, what they act like. It is what I call, period, a state of emergency in terms of fooling around this mess you see on television where, they have some guy with nine women. I don't know what they make them do, but I couldn't be a participant. Somebody needs to go and get yourself checked out. That's craziness.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fool people like that anymore.
No, they have to take their life serious, and if they're not going to, the likelihood of them getting that disease is great. I want to just talk about those age groups. This is current. in 2017 of the new HIV diagnosis in the United States. Ages 13 to 24, there was 8,164 cases. And age 25 to 34, there was 13,433 new cases. 35 to 44, it was 7,397. If the person was 45 to 54, there was 5,735 cases. And if they were age 55 to 64, it was 3,226 cases. If they were 65 and above, it was 885 cases. But it seemed like the largest increase in numbers of new HIV diagnosis was between age 25 to 34. The numbers were higher than some of the other groups. But even the young people, those numbers are, that's high. Anyone on the line, if you want to go ahead and jump in or say who you are, you're welcome, or if you just want to listen. I know I have someone from the 323 area. I'm not sure if you want to say your name and share a little with us or not, but you can if you want. Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay, this is Andrea James.
Oh, hi there. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, and I'm glad I called in tonight. Me personally, I'm scared with what's out there. And
I think we all better
be
scared.
We can't be ostriches with our heads in the sand. We have to be very proactive. And with these diseases, they're not playing around. They're not selective. They don't care. And it's, we can't be too cute and keep our mouths shut. It may kill us.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be proactive and speak up, especially if you plan on being intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And today, is what's out there is not like it used to be, not even 20 years ago.
Yeah,
and
well,
you just can't.
There was
take
a time you had
been
diagnosed and it was treatable. But
right,
HIV
yeah.
is treatable, but it's not, the treatment is not a cure. You can live longer, provided you do get some treatment. You will live a little bit longer, but no treatment, no nothing. It's more of a death sentence. And then the playing field has changed. You can't say, I love you, and get involved without being tested first. You're going to engage in sexual behavior. You can't put a blindfold over your eyes and pretend, well, they look good. They look good on the outside.
They
and
look
maybe
healthy.
Tore up in the
right.
inside.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I just suggest that get tested before you get involved, before you start kissing, before you start having sexual intercourse. You need to be tested, both partners, so that you know your status. There are people that get married, and maybe only one of them have HIV, but neither partner was tested, so you don't know who had it, and now they both have it, and that's a reality. Mm-hmm. And HIV doesn't respect an age either, as we've read off some of the statistics. And the gay population, or men with men, is they're at the highest rate. They're hitting 74-76% of the cases, and that's high. And I often wonder how much education is given to them. How are they educated? And we all know that in the poorer areas, minority areas, the education is not there yet. And that needs to be changed. We need to be concerned about that. And what can we do about, you know, educating the groups of people that are at highest risk? Part of the problem, or at least one of the solutions to the problem, is education on not just the HIV AIDS, on various diseases, there needs to be more education. I'd say there needs to be more health fairs, too, because those health fairs save lives and also educate the ones that are coming out, because those health fairs, when I've participated and been a part of putting on health fairs, we've saved lives. We've educated the people. To, if they're not being checked there, they go to the doctors, or we check them at the health fair and we find a problem. They're always advised to, hey, go see your doctor. You need to go see him like now, today, so that they can, you know, begin treatment. That's very important.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the myths, because, you know, people tend to assume they have this failure to, again, through education, and but also the failure through myths, because they think sort of playing with this is going to make it go away. And that, just as you say with teenagers, you know, they see no harm in standing around in a corner trying to play the anteater with their tongue down somebody's throat. And this is exactly the way this stuff is spreading. And that it's with fluids and things like that, that you don't even have to have sexual contact. And the same thing with drug use. If you're a drug user, it's one of the reasons that they're passing around clean needles. It's because of HIV. These are where some of the larger numbers are. And it has to be addressed. And we are trying as a group to get it out there to pay attention, especially because this thing is rampant amongst African Americans. And they have basically total lack of knowledge about this particular killer. You know, it's like bird fish. This thing is silent. And it's running through the hood, as they say, and it's taking lives.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's got to stand up because he's doing a good job.
A lot of the teenagers nowadays, they think that the type of sex that they're having, they don't think that it's sex. They think that just a regular old-fashioned penetration, that's the way of having sex, but the fellatio and any other form, they say, oh, that's not sex, but they're still contacting this disease through any orifices that's open, and it's being brainwashed.
Yeah, because they don't understand body fluid. Like even kissing is body fluid.
Yes.
The virus is in that body fluid.
Mm.
And see, for at least a 25-year period, here in the United States, a whole generation was fed that you couldn't get it through any kind of body fluid, especially saliva. Saliva was the big one. And yet you had all your other countries around the world that said yes. We stood alone for too long. So trying to reverse all of that has not been easy, letting them know that saliva can contain the virus and you can still get the disease just through passionate kissing. Center of Disease Control finally stepped up to the plate and said something about that. But it took them a long time, because I remember there was a period when I was at anywhere from El Camino Junior College to USC, when I spoke, I had to watch what I said and how I said it, because I can be booted out of those institutions. So the way I got around and was able to tell the truth was, I would say, this is what United States is saying. Does anyone want to hear what the rest of the world is saying? Of course, everybody says yes. So then I tell them what the rest of the world had to say. Now, you make your own decisions and what you believe. because not to give a full picture because we stood alone would have made no sense at all, and I would have been doing an injustice. And myself, I'm after educating, and if I have to say, give the picture of what we think here in the United States at that time and give you the picture of what the rest of the world is saying, then you make a decision on your own. And the rest of the world had just as many educated people there as we have here in the United States. But now we don't say that lie anymore. We don't preach that or say it, but you do have a whole generation that was fed that story. And then they would say that if you had a ton of saliva, then you can possibly get it. And I would give them an example. I have a bottle of water here, and I just got a drop of HIV in the water. You going to drink it? The answer would always be no. So, you know, that I call it the poop theory. A little bit ain't going to harm you, and that's not true. It doesn't take gobs and gobs of something for it to affect a person. A little bit. Nobody even wants a little bit. So, but it's going to take years to, you know, to undo what was done wrong and continue to educate the people and educate our youth. And they definitely need more education, especially in the high schools. If we can get at the high schoolers, then we've done our job well. And you're still going to have a percentage that are going to make wrong choices, but at least they know what they're doing when they make that choice. Center of Disease Control said way back in 2007 that both of those tests, the antibody tests and the genetic tests, should be done at the same time. This is 2019, and that still is not happening unless you're donating blood or you're part of the armed forces or if a mother's pregnant, because they do know you can treat the unborn baby in the womb and no child would be born with HIV, and that is a fact. So at least we have come a long ways, but we still got a long ways to go because people are still dying.
Yeah, look at the while they were coming a long ways, look at the graveyard.
Mm-hmm. The graveyard is big and wide.
It's pitiful.
Okay, Andrea, would you like to tell the audience something about yourself or some of the things that you're doing or anything like that? If not, I'm going to turn it over to at least, you know, maybe for a five-minute period here. And then Selena always talks about some of the groups that she's affiliated with and the work that's out there to be done.
Thanks for asking, Paulette. With some of the things I do, I'm a community leader, community activist, problem solver. I help entrepreneurs in business, help them get unstuck, putting together projects for homeless housing, vets and families, and working with Selena on taking advice from her as far as making changes and just listening and paying attention and brightening people's days, turning them into superstars in their own right.
Wow.
Just reminding us that we have to continue to tap into the source, which is our creator. And at the same time, we also have that power. So continue to tap into the source. We can't worry about anything that we can't control. God is in all. And for those who can't be ostriches with our heads in the sand anymore, in any area, health, economics, education, we can't. It's too many things out there with Monsanto, still spraying food and pesticides. We have to take on guerrilla warfare for our health, for our families, and our communities. We can't sit back and trust that the government is going to do anything anymore. They don't care. So we have to care for ourselves. And it takes a village to raise a village.
Yes, it does.
That's just a
okay,
little bit. Thanks
Selena,
for letting me share, and I'm glad I'm on tonight.
I'm sorry. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
I just said I'm glad I'm on the line tonight. I'm glad.
Oh, yes, we're glad you're on
the
line,
too. Show up.
Did you have a website you wanted people to reach you by, or?
Not at this time. It's in development.
Okay.
In the future, but thank you.
Okay. Selena, did you want to talk about some of the organizations you're involved in?
Yes, we're going to start off a little bit of lineup here. The first one on the list would be veterancaresolutions.org. You can go to that website. Veterancaresolutions.org is run by LaShonda Jones. And primarily what they try to do there is to help a veteran reintegrate himself back into society. She deals with all kinds of problems, those of you that are possibly in the business. She is a wealth of information in terms of how to do RFPs, how to get in touch with others that deal with veterans, what's out there that you can get for free for veterans. Please call LaShonda Jones at area code 909-329-8288. Again, the name of the organization is VeteranCareSolutions.org, and that is run by LaShonda Jones. That number again, 909-329-8288. The next organization, I always get a good laugh out of this one. I just love that name. It's called Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. This organization is run by Kathy Braxton, and primarily their focus is with the homeless and those that are homeless and in the streets. They're located at 290 East D Street in Colton, California. What they do on the fourth Saturday of every month is they're out there handing out food, clothes, whatever it is that they have, toys. They pray for these individuals. Kathy Braxton, she can be reached at area code 562-313-0041. Again, the name of the organization is Of Being Tired, and it's run by Kathy Braxton. That phone number again, 562-313-0041. The next organization is an organization in which I am a director. It's called Sowing Seeds for Life. SowingSeedsForLife.org. You can go to our website. It is located at 1350 Arrow Highway. Also, Paulette is there doing healthcare consultings and helping us all learn more and more about what's out there, diseases, what's good for our kids, what's safe foods, nutrition, just a wealth of information. Also, we do a lot more than hand out food. We're the second largest food bank in Southern California, so the majority of people that have pantries, they receive food from us. However, we have a lot more than food. Sometimes it's clothes, shoes. We don't believe in kids being in line, so they're out there learning a little bit about plants or doing arts and crafts. If you'd like to donate or volunteer, please go to the website or call this phone number, area code 909-293-7735, extension 232, and ask to speak to Fran Robinson. Again, that number is area code 909-293-7735, extension 232, and ask to speak to Fran Robinson. The next organizations that we'd like to talk about is called, number one, Bright Prospect. Bright Prospect is located at 1460 East Hope Boulevard in suite number 74. Primarily what they deal with is low-income students and helping them get through college. You can view what Bright Prospect does by going to their website, www.brightprospect.org. And if you'd like to volunteer or find out more about what they're doing over there, please call area code 909 623-9007. The one more organization that we'll talk about is called Helping Hands and Caring. Primarily what they do is feed the homeless, and they're constant and consistent with that. If you like to volunteer or if you like to talk to somebody about how you can help over there, please call area code 909-730-5313. Whenever we do the show, I always throw in a little bit of my own opinion, and I'm going to do so at this time. I choose to speak out because silence is consent. I am a self-proclaimed change agent. Yes, I am an agitator. I choose to be provocative. Speaking out raises tough issues. Sometimes it makes other people uncomfortable. Moreover, making some people uncomfortable is who I work very hard to be. I take risks and use myself as a guinea pig. I tell life stories. I share my weaknesses and my mistakes. I also use me as the guinea pig. Basically, I have a belief, and that belief is to help those that cannot help themselves. I am Selena A. Lindsay, and I thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I look forward to having you again with our next hot topic next week. For all of you that are within the sound of my voice, have a great evening and good night.
Okay, thank you, Selena and Audrey. Thank you for your participation and for those that want to continue to follow us and hear the broadcast on various topics. Just remember that all you have to do is call 858-769-4936. Press 1 if you want to speak, and you'll be heard around the globe. Thank you. Good night. Bye.